We read God's Word in Deuteronomy 33. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, "The Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And he was king in Jeshurun when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. Let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies. And of Levi he said, Let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him. Neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor know his own children, for they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. Bless, Lord, his substance and accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise against him and of them that hate him, that they rise not again. And of Benjamin he said, The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. And of Joseph he said, Blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. His glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. They are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. And of Zebulun he said, Rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar in thy tents. They shall call the people unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas and of treasures hid in the sand. And of Gad he said, Blessed be he that enlargeth Gad. He dwelleth as a lion, and teareth the arm with the crown of the head. And he provided the first part for himself, because there, in a portion of the lawgiver, was he seated. And he came with the heads of the people. He executed the justice of the Lord and his judgments with Israel. And of Dan he said, Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from Bashan. And of Naphtali he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. And of Asher he said, Let Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heaven shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Thus far, we read God's word. We examine this morning verse 12 of this chapter. And of Benjamin he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. Beloved saints in Christ, the Scriptures leave no room for doubt about this fact. The blessing of Jehovah rests upon his people. There is the Aaronic blessing in Numbers 6. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. A blessing that the high priest pronounced upon Israel every day in the Old Testament. There are the promises that the prophets made by inspiration. There are the words of Jesus in Matthew 5, the Beatitudes, the blessings pronounced upon the citizens of the kingdom of God. The concluding word of the apostles in many, if not all, of the epistles are words of blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And so also in Deuteronomy 33, we have a blessing of Jehovah pronounced upon his church as she was found in the Old Testament. Moses was, of course, the great prophet. He speaks the words of our text and of all of chapter 33 in the spirit of prophecy, not just what he thinks or hopes will happen to Israel as she crosses the Jordan and settles in the promised land, but what Jehovah will certainly do to her is the subject of this prophecy. Each of the prophecies of the different tribes find some fulfillment in that tribe itself, and then fulfillment for the nation as a whole. First of all, understand that these prophecies are fulfilled with regard to the place in Canaan that the tribe was given, and we'll see that particularly to be true of Benjamin. But then you get to verse 26, after Moses is finished speaking of the blessing upon the different tribes, and he blesses and speaks of the whole of Israel, 26 through 29, and some of the same themes come out, because the blessing that is pronounced on any individual tribe is a blessing that must come upon the church as a whole. God's blessing isn't just for part of his church, for this congregation, or for that family within the congregation. The blessing of God is for the entire church and the whole body of Jesus Christ. What's said in Deuteronomy 33 has application to us today, because we are, by the grace of God, the church in the new dispensation. As we stand at the outset of a new year, we call attention especially to the blessing that Moses pronounces upon Benjamin. We look ahead this year and remember that our hopes and our dreams must be spiritual and not earthly and carnal. We are too quick at the beginning of a year to make plans for the year, which plans regard our earthly life and the circumstances of that life, and perhaps we forget very quickly about the need for spiritual growth. The blessing pronounced on Benjamin and that comes to us today is not an earthly, a carnal blessing. It is a spiritual blessing. Then, at the beginning of a year, we might be too quick to rely on ourselves, to suppose that the life we have, the strength we've had in the past year will continue in the coming year, and all the circumstances of life will be the same, so that we make our plans for the future based on what's happened to us in the past and forget to rely on God to carry out His will. The blessing pronounced upon Benjamin teaches us that Benjamin will rely on Jehovah and trust in God to do what is good. We need this blessing of Jehovah today and always. Let us consider the blessing that Moses pronounces on Benjamin and see what it teaches us about Jehovah's blessing on us in the year ahead. I call your attention to the text under the theme, Moses' blessing upon Benjamin. First of all, dwelling beside Jehovah. Secondly, protected by Jehovah. And finally, relying upon Jehovah. The first part of the blessing that's pronounced upon Benjamin suggests a very beautiful picture of covenant fellowship. The beloved of the Lord shall dwell by him. In three ways, that suggests a beautiful picture of covenant fellowship. First of all, you have the covenant name of God, Jehovah, the beloved of Jehovah, the text speaks of. Jehovah, who we know is the everlasting, unchanging, covenant-keeping God. Then you have, in the second place, the name Benjamin. Of Benjamin, this blessing is pronounced. The name Benjamin means the son of my right hand. Do you remember that Benjamin was born to Rachel, that beloved wife of Jacob, but born to her as she died? And she gave him the name Benoni, son of my sorrow. But Jacob said, no, he is Benjamin, son of my right hand. His beloved wife Rachel has died. Two sons she has given him. Joseph, well known to be the favorite among the brethren, and now this Benjamin will also be, in the eyes of Jacob, a special son whom he will keep near him as a picture of his love for this wife who is dead, and for this son who comes from her. Now, what was true of the relationship between Benjamin and his father Jacob on earth, Jehovah says will be true in a spiritual way of the relationship between Benjamin and Jehovah. He will be the son of Jehovah's right hand, inasmuch as he will be always near him, dwelling by him. And then there is, in the third place, to paint this picture of covenantal fellowship, the words themselves, the idea of dwelling. Jehovah has a dwelling place. He has an abode or a house. His house, of course, is in heaven. Though his glory fills the heavens and the earth, in a special way, it is in heaven. And yet Jehovah tabernacles among men. He comes down in the person of Jesus Christ and by His Spirit and Word to dwell among us. The picture that he is painting here is that Jehovah will have his house on earth here, and Benjamin will have his house right next to Jehovah. Today, we don't always think of our neighbors as our friends, but we do have a special responsibility for our neighbors, even those who do not share the faith in Jesus Christ with us. You to your next door neighbors and me with mine. But when those neighbors happen to be fellow saints, there is an even more special bond that ought to exist between us and them. And when that neighbor happens to be our own son, who has purchased a house right next to ours, so that the relationship of father and son can continue very deeply and intimately. What a beautiful thing. That's the picture here. Jehovah will dwell here, and next to him, Benjamin. This close fellowship that the text speaks of, Benjamin enjoying with Jehovah, will be due to the grace of God. It is Jehovah's pronouncement that this will, in fact, be true, that Benjamin will dwell by Jehovah. But it is Jehovah's pronouncement on a Benjamin, especially now a tribe, who will, in the course of her history, show herself entirely unworthy of this blessing. There isn't much, if you study the history of the tribe of Benjamin in the scriptures, that you will find against her, and not much you will find against the boy, the man, Benjamin himself either. The plot, for example, to sell Joseph was not Benjamin's, it was the other 10 brothers. But there is one glaring instance of sin on the part of Benjamin that makes her and demonstrates her unworthiness for this blessing. And I refer to what we find in Judges 19, 20, and 21. There was a man, a Levite, who was returning from his father-in-law's house with his concubine who had run away to his own house and who spent the night in Gibeah, which belonged to Benjamin. And the men of that city wanted to abuse and to fornicate, not with his concubine, but with him. And finally settled for his concubine, whom they not only abused all night long, but finally killed her. That is, their fornication with her caused her death. Heinous sin. That on the part of one city of Benjamin. Now when all of Israel heard of it, they sent to the Benjamites and said, "Let us put the sin away from you. Do something about the men of that city." And instead of doing something just with regard to the men of that city, the men of the rest of the tribe of Benjamin defended the men of that city so that Israel, the 11 tribes, go to war against Benjamin, and Benjamin is almost completely destroyed. What's the significance of all of that history now again with regard to our text? It's simply this. It illustrates that the blessing pronounced upon Benjamin is one she is entirely worthy of. The sin of homosexuality is one of the most heinous abominations in the sight of Jehovah. And yet, of a tribe who will condone that sin, he says, "The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him." Jehovah makes this pronouncement knowing full well what the future will hold. He makes this pronouncement because from all eternity in Jesus Christ, he sees Benjamin, as the text says, as the beloved of the Lord. Of his grace, freely, from eternity in election, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ in time, Jehovah sees Benjamin as righteous and enjoys covenant fellowship with him. For his own part, Benjamin will willingly dwell next to Jehovah. He will not wish that he was somewhere else. He will rejoice in his being delivered from the guilt and the corruption of sin and brought into fellowship with the true God. How is this fulfilled then in the tribe of Benjamin in the course of her history? We have to see especially that there is fulfillment in the place which Benjamin is given in the land of Canaan. That first. That portion of Canaan that was given to Benjamin is found just west of the Jordan River, the southern part of the Jordan River, and just west of the northern part of the Dead Sea. I won't describe that territory any further as regards its boundaries, but within the territory given to Benjamin falls the city of Jericho, the first city captured and conquered after crossing the Jordan River, and more significantly, the city of Jerusalem. We might have thought that Jerusalem was part of the tribe of Judah, for David, the king of Judah, took that city to be his capital city. But in fact, it falls in the tribe of Benjamin. And now you see how the prophecy of the text is fulfilled. It is in Jerusalem that the temple will be built. That temple which will be a picture of Jehovah dwelling with His people. His house, if ever you could speak of Jehovah having a house on earth, will be in Jerusalem. And around Jerusalem dwell the Benjamites. Benjamin shall dwell by Jehovah. In the second place, later on in the history of Benjamin, there is fulfillment. I refer to the time after the division of the kingdom. The 10 tribes, led by Ephraim, leave David. One tribe remains faithful, Judah, except that the scriptures speak also of Benjamin. Sometimes all the emphasis falls on Judah. She was the dominant tribe, but Benjamin also remains faithful to the line of David and the coming promises of Christ and the worship of God in the temple than do the other 10 tribes. She will not leave her special privileged place of dwelling by Jehovah God. Here you see that God gives to Benjamin a higher honor than he gives to Joseph. Joseph was given a double portion of the inheritance, the tribes both of Ephraim and Manasseh. But it is Ephraim who leads the revolt, and Manasseh follows. Joseph is gone. Benjamin yet remains faithful to God. To begin to apply this part of the blessing to us, we have to see the gospel in it. What is said here of Benjamin is true, ultimately, of Jesus Christ. There is no blessing on the church of God except such as Christ Himself enjoys. And that's, of course, because Christ at the right hand of God receives all the blessing from Jehovah and then by His Spirit and Word bestows that blessing on His church. If the church possesses a blessing, Jesus Himself does. So it is Jesus, the beloved of the Lord, who dwells by Jehovah. Not only is that true of Jesus from all eternity in His person, but you remember how in His human nature, as He came to carry out the will of redemption, He was called the beloved Son of God two different times, at His baptism and on the Mount of Transfiguration. And you recall how now being raised from the dead, Jesus sits at the right hand of Jehovah, the true Benjamin, son of Jehovah's right hand, and there enjoys fellowship with God to all eternity. If that is true of Jesus Christ, then it is true of the church of Christ, wherever she is found, and in whatever circumstance of life. The blessing that is pronounced and will come by the Spirit on the church of Christ, also on this congregation in the year ahead, is that Jehovah will continue to manifest His presence with His true church by His Spirit and Word. What's promised in the text is no the removal of the threat of apostasy, that this blessing will come upon the church, I said, comes upon the true church, the faithful church, the church who in God's grace is preserved and protected as His church. Should Benjamin say, I don't like my place next to Jehovah, I'm going to leave it and go live somewhere else, then the blessing, and especially the blessing of covenant fellowship won't come upon her. For the Church of Jesus Christ, which by grace says, we desire to be faithful and we seek the grace of God to remain faithful, comes this promise. The Word of God and the Spirit of God will continue with this church. And with all in the church who are true elect believers. Jehovah will continue in the coming year to draw us to Himself so that we look forward to and delight in coming to His house on a Lord's Day, so that in our own homes we desire to open up the Scriptures and draw near to Him in prayer, and He will cause us to continue to dwell by Him, and that He will work in us more and more a hope for glory and heaven, where we shall dwell by Him. Not in any earthly sense, but in His heavenly home forever. I say again, that's by the grace of God. For if Benjamin's sin demonstrates his own unworthiness for this blessing, how much more do not our own sins demonstrate our unworthiness for the promise? What a marvelous, gracious promise that we have in our text. One who dwells by Jehovah will also be protected by Jehovah as his God and Father. And of that also Moses speaks in our text. In fact, in the first phrase that we've examined are two words that we've overlooked up until now. The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by Him, shall dwell in security. No harm will befall him, and no enemy will destroy him. And then in the second part or phrase of the text, that's the reason for that is explained. And the Lord shall cover him all the day long. Where the word translated cover has the idea really of surrounding him as a shield. A warrior needs a shield. He needs a sword too if he's going to do damage to the enemy's cause. But he needs a shield to be protected. Jehovah is his people's shield. As this is promised to Benjamin, it presupposes that Benjamin will experience danger. Benjamin will have enemies. There will be some, whether others in the nation of Israel or whether enemies outside, who hate Jehovah, who protects Benjamin, who are jealous of Benjamin's special place dwelling by Jehovah, who want to draw Benjamin away from that place. Enemies without, other nations, but also Satan as he works in our own hearts, saying, dwelling by Jehovah, and because you dwell by Jehovah and in covenant fellowship with him, you forego many of the sinful pleasures of the world. What fun is that? Leave your special place and come and find what you're missing. Those are enemies, so talking. But these enemies will not succeed. Jehovah will preserve his covenant people in fellowship with him in the way of our seeking the grace of holiness and fighting those enemies. This aspect of the prophecy is also fulfilled. First of all, let's go back to the man Benjamin himself and think of how God took care of him. No mischief befell Benjamin. Jacob was so afraid it would. In fact, he speaks of that as being the greatest grief he could possibly ever have happened to him. When the 10 brothers come back from Egypt and say, well, we can't go back again for more food unless Benjamin goes with us, then Jacob almost despairs. Joseph is gone. Simeon is gone. And you want to take Benjamin away too. And if anything happens to him, you will bring my gray hairs down to the grave with sorrow. But no mischief befell Benjamin. Jehovah protected him. Even the 10 brothers who had plotted mischief against Joseph plot no mischief against Benjamin. In the tribe as well, there is fulfillment. In the wilderness wanderings, this also is finished at the moment that Moses speaks the words of the text, but you find something of fulfillment in it. Study those 40 years of wilderness wanderings and remember that all who were 20 and older died in the wilderness. That at the end of 40 years, having counted the men 20 and older able to go to war before at the beginning of the wilderness wanderings, and having counted them again at the end of the wilderness wandering, you find that over 40 years, Israel did not grow, but then neither did she decrease. That is, by more than 2,000. 2,000 less over 40 years. Which really means to tell us God preserved her. But although the nation as a whole remained about the same in her numbers, there are certain tribes that were absolutely decimated, 20, 30,000 men less at the end of 40 years than others. And there were other tribes that grew, and yet others that stayed about even. Benjamin grew. From 35,000 warriors at the beginning of the 40 years of wilderness wandering to 45,000, 10,000 more at the end. What does that say? Jehovah has protected and cared for Benjamin. During that time of the judges, when Benjamin committed that heinous sin, Jehovah, though bringing his judgments upon her, protects and preserves her. 600 men of Benjamin are not killed, and the tribe is spared in the way of keeping the law. There's fulfillment for the tribe of the prophecy for the tribe as regards the place she's given to. All kinds of nations around Israel wanted Benjamin's land. And they wanted Benjamin's land not because they had anything against Benjamin. They hated Israel. They made no distinction probably between the different tribes in Israel. But they wanted Jerusalem. That lofty city perched on a mountain hill from which not only was there a beautiful view and all kinds of amenities for the day, but a well-defended and fortress city. If you could get Jerusalem, you controlled that whole area of the world. Not only that, but through the tribe of Benjamin run main highways, north-south, east-west, which the enemy armies could easily use to attack Benjamin and the rest of the tribe. Benjamin needs this protection of the Lord. In a very real way, all of Israel needs Benjamin to enjoy this protection of the Lord. For if Benjamin is protected, the nation as a whole will be safe. If the temple remains and the people worship God in that temple as He commands in His Word, Jehovah's blessing will come upon all. Jehovah protects Benjamin. It's this special need for that protection that explains also Jacob's blessing on Benjamin before Jacob dies. Genesis 49, verse 27. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. Not only now did he need protection, but the blessing is he will conquer his enemies. In protecting Benjamin, Jehovah will cause Benjamin to go forth to war and to be victorious. And that is another theme that you can find traced throughout the Scriptures. As you study the history of the tribe of Benjamin, she is noted for her warriors. It's in connection with that heinous sin in Judges 20 that the Scriptures said that there were in Benjamin 700 men, left-handed, who could throw a stone at a hairbreadth and not miss. Some of us are of so poor an aim that a target would have to be about 10 feet wide for us maybe to manage to nick the edge of it. But imagine throwing a stone at a fair distance at a hair and hitting it. Such was the skill of some of the men of Benjamin. Later on in King Asa's army, after the division of the kingdom, 240,000 valiant warrior men come from the tribe of Benjamin. This promise that she will be protected does not lead her to lay down, as it were, and sleep and say, well, good, then I don't have to worry about it. It spurs her on to defend the inheritance Jehovah has given. Jesus Christ also enjoys the protection of Jehovah God. Personally, he did. Brought to the death of the cross, the object of ridicule, scorn, and hatred many times throughout his life on earth, Jehovah raised him from the dead the third day and gave him a place at Jehovah's right hand where the enemy cannot prevail or attack. Not only so, but in raising him from the dead the third day, Jehovah really declared that Jesus Christ was the victor in war. His death on the cross was one battle, the great battle in the war of the ages, Satan against God and the forces of darkness against the covenant and the kingdom of Jehovah himself. It may have seemed that Satan won when Christ died, but that Jesus Christ, in fact, was the victor is evident in his resurrection. So Jesus is protected by Jehovah such that his cause will always prevail and his kingdom will be realized. Then that too doesn't lead Jesus to sit back and do nothing. He fights. He goes on the offensive by his word and spirit. And in that, the church sees a blessing for us. There is danger ahead. Let us suppose that our text is as a signpost as we're going down the road, a highway, 70 miles an hour, without a care in the world. Danger ahead! We know that, but we forget it and sometimes want to ignore it. The danger is that Satan is not going to let up his attacks on the church. He is not going to stop trying to draw us away from our beloved place, from our special place next to Jehovah. He is going to do everything in his power to destroy. To that end, increasingly, he will use the government of our land and society around us, who, hating the church, will become more and more bold and seek our destruction. There is danger ahead. Not only in those ways, but also with regard to the sinfulness of my own nature, always weak when it comes to fighting temptation. But the blessing pronounced upon the church is this: Jehovah will protect us this year as he has up until now. You will keep us safe from our enemies. Remember that David experienced that safety not because the enemies went back home, but he saw them around him. Thousands and ten thousands of people chasing him in the wilderness. The army of Saul. He says, I will lay me down in peace and sleep. The Lord takes care of me. That's our safety. Not a safety that in which we see the enemies gone, but it was safety which leads us to say, by the grace of God, we will be faithful to Him and He will protect and preserve us from them. And even if they harm the body or kill the body, they cannot kill the soul. That's our safety and protection. Jehovah will surely bring us one day to heaven where the enemies themselves cannot come. And then, one day, farther ahead yet, destroy those enemies so that when the church is brought to heaven, in all her glory and fullness, the enemies are destroyed in hell. There is no longer a threat that these enemies pose. But this blessing of Jehovah, this promise of protection in the year ahead, does require of you and me that we, by the grace of God, fight. That we continue to set forth the true gospel, the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. That we in our own lives continue, by the grace of God, to fight against and resist temptation, to love God's law and want to keep it. And in that way, we shall enjoy His protection. With such promises, the life of Benjamin would be one of trusting in and relying upon Jehovah. And that comes out of the last phrase of the text. And he shall dwell between his shoulders. That is, and Benjamin shall dwell between Jehovah's shoulders. We have another picture. A boy on his father's back. Or neck. Father is giving his boy a piggyback ride, or even has set the boy on his shoulders so that his legs are hanging down. But the picture is not that of Jehovah doing this to Benjamin for amusement's sake. Jehovah and Benjamin are not frolicking. Rather, the father has put his son on his shoulders in order, on the father's part, to show that he protects his son, and the son, for his part, relies on the father and sits there trusting the father. Not all boys would, maybe, especially now in a time of danger. It may be in time of danger, the boy knows there's danger, that the father scoops him up on his back or puts him on his shoulders and uses whatever route he has to take to get away from the danger. But the boy is scared. He doesn't trust father to lead him. He wants to get down so he can run on his own. Benjamin will rely on Jehovah. He stays on his father's back. He dwells between his shoulders. What confidence the text pictures. This did our Savior. When troubled, tempted, attacked, beaten in Gethsemane, on the cross, and other points of life, He prayed. That manifests reliance upon Jehovah. Even in the moment of His death, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. I rely on Thee at this hour. And having prayed, he continued to serve his father, trusting his father to do what is best. Church of Jesus Christ, we sit on Jehovah's shoulders. Ours is an exalted perch. sitting on Jehovah's shoulders, we will see trouble around us. Our faith will be tested, and we will face the question, must I jump off? Does Jehovah not know the right way? Should I not rely on Him? Must I jump off and do it myself? Or do I stay on His shoulders and rely upon Him? There is, by implication, an exhortation in the text. Stay on those shoulders and rely upon Him. Will sickness come in your life this year? Rely on Jehovah. Will financial troubles, will you face death? Turn to Jehovah. That exhortation is implied. The text takes the form of a promise. He shall dwell. This will happen to the church of Jesus Christ. God will cause us to rely on Him so that we have no fear of falling or of the future. What a blessing. It's certain. Moses speaks as the prophet of God. God pronounces this blessing on His church. He sent Christ to die to earn it, to rise again to bestow it, and poured out His Spirit as the first part of it. Are we not then happy? Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? The church rejoices in the promises God has given her. May we do that today and face the future with the confidence that Jehovah will continue to pour out on us the blessing He has promised. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, bestow thy blessing on us who are unworthy and undeserving, but who in Jesus Christ have a right to that which Thou hast promised. Give us to trust in Thee. Give us to enjoy Thy protection. Give us to love our place, dwelling by Thee now and always. For Jesus' sake, amen.